Hey everybody, this is Dominique. If you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. Last week, we began a three-part series on comparing the different investment strategies, and we walked through tax. This week, we're going to walk through the different investment platforms, whether that be self-directed, robo, or hiring somebody to actually do that. I want to give you some rationale behind each of those investment strategies, so stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
All right, we're back. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast where we talk about everything financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. So welcome back if you are a repeat listener or a viewer. And if you're new to the show, hopefully we'll convey some information that is helpful for you today and will allow you to win with your life and with your money. It's all about taking that red pill to leave the matrix of the average and enjoy a life of financial contentment. So today, we're going to be breaking down the different investment platforms. I'll put a link to last week's show, which was more about tax. And like I say, it's not all about what you make. It's about what you keep. So you'll definitely want to look at that one because we walk through how you can save yourself some money essentially on your tax return, depending on the investment strategy that you employ. Today, I said, though, we're going to talk through the different investment platforms. There's all kinds of things out there now. So whether you try to go automated, which we call automated wealth platforms, we're going to walk through that. We're going to talk about the old traditional way of just kind of doing it yourself and what the pros and cons of that are. And then we'll also look at whether you just want to hire somebody out to do it. So we're going to look at all three pretty objectively. And hopefully that will be some tidbits of knowledge and wisdom for you to employ your investment strategy. Because I just want to give you what I call a practical guide of comparing the different ways to invest. After doing this for two decades, I've picked up some nuggets of, let's call it wisdom or advice along the way that I want to pass on to you. So let's just dig right in right today. And I'll pull over the screens. And let's begin to look at the different ways of investing, right? So as of late, let's call it the last 10 years or so, you have, I don't like to use the term robo-advisors, but I know that's what most people use. These would be automated wealth platforms, right? So like Betterment and Wealthfront, Acorns, Stash, Robinhood, all these are really automated wealth platforms. And I'll walk through kind of the pros and cons of each of these. So let's start with automated wealth platforms. Really, I think the story behind these is efficiency and saving on trading costs, right? So when you typically, I used to work on an institutional trading desk. And so when you start a lot of orders, trade orders that are going to buy stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and you aggregate them all together, they have to be executed through an exchange. And the more orders you have, you get a discount, basically. You know, you get a kind of like a bulk discount. And so that's what platforms, automated platforms like Robinhood, Acorns, Betterment, all of them, no matter what they're called and no matter if they have minimums or not, they're all really doing the same thing. They're aggregating orders to push to an exchange so that a broker can give them a discount on the bulk of those trades. And you get a fraction, it's called fractional investing, you get a fraction of those of the dollars that invested. So let's just say, you know, $10 million in order of Apple, and you put in your $5 from Acorn or, you know, Robinhood or whatever app you choose to use, and you get a fraction of what your portion that you contributed to that. So think about it, crowdfunding for investing, really. I mean, it's just aggregating those orders. So that's really the benefit, I would say, of that particular platform. You're going to save costs. And, you know, with Acorns, you're investing kind of like your spare change and things like that. So that could be one way to do it. you're not going to have a lot of autonomy. There's not going to be a ton of selection on the platform. There's not going to be a ton of ways to customize your risk preference. I mean, you're either kind of moderate, conservative, or aggressive. There's not going to be no in-betweens there. And like I said, there's going to be a limited amount of ETFs and or stocks that you can buy, because they're going to be using the platforms that get the most volume, right? So, you know, something like the SPY or a really popular ticker is going to be the ETF that's going to be on that, because the more volume and the more people that trade on there, the better they can get discounts and lower pricing on the things that they want to invest in on that strategy. So usually there's not going to be any minimums. I knew that Wealthfront used to have a minimum with the amount that you can invest there, but they may have, you know, ceased doing that. And so typically it's going to be relatively cheap on trading cost, right? And it's pretty efficient. I mean, you can do it from your app or from a desktop or from an iPad or something like that. So let's move on to self-directed. So self-directed is the old traditional way, right? You remember the Super Bowl commercials of E-Trade. So you can have E-Trade, Schwab. I mean, there's all kinds of, those are some discount brokers, obviously, but you can open up accounts just about anywhere, you know, just about any Fidelity, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, all those guys have that same type of platform. And, you know, you're going to save on management costs as opposed to hiring an advisor, right? A physical person or a team to do that. If you do it yourself, you obviously don't have to pay a management fee. So you definitely save on that cost. And you have the most control. You're going to typically be able to invest in the universe of stuff, whether that be individual bonds or, you know, even some type of private placements and alternatives. Some accounts, depending on the type, would allow you to invest in like hard assets like gold and real estate. I would say that the major thing here that you have to be cognizant of if you're going to go self-directed is knowledge. You got to know what you're doing. You don't get to blame anybody or, you know, good luck with calling support if anything goes awry. It's all on you. So that's really the thing about self-directed accounts. You know, I have a lot of clients that do have self-directed accounts, but that's not where the bulk of their money is, because they really don't want the full responsibility of management of their assets. Now, some do. Some people have that type of knowledge. You may have been trained on that, or you may have studied that in, you know, school or something. You have some specialized knowledge that you can use to your advantage to trade and invest and manage your wealth. And if you do, kudos to you. Most people don't, though. So let's move on to the last category, which is managed. That would be through an advisor. You would use somebody, hire a team or hire an investment management team or somebody that would basically stand in between what I would call you and your investment goals. And they would help you get to those investment goals, ideally. And what I would say this saves you on is mistake cost, opportunity cost, because, you know, sometimes, you know, in the last 10 years, we've had a pretty good market run. I think the market's averaged around 10%, at least the equity markets, domestic equities, that is. But, you know, if you ever had, you know, like a 2008, towards the end of 2007, all the way 2008 and the first quarter of 2009, that was a very, very hard period where the U.S. economy went through a recession and it spread through the whole globe. Not too many people wanted to be doing that themselves, and to be leaning on a team that gave you a strategy to weather that storm was pretty priceless at that point, because there were a lot of investors that when they lost 40% in 2008, they sold out and they did not continue to invest, or they didn't have a strategy to weather them through the storm, and they end up just losing that money and having to essentially start over the next year and beyond. So I think the saving on the mistake cost is pretty huge, and that's why I see a lot of people hire advisors. The other thing is the advice component. Just to have advice that goes along with your investment strategy, like we're doing this investment strategy because of X, Y, and Z, right? And not trying to figure that out on your own. I think most people feel that, you know, at least my clients feel that, you know, delegating of tasks that they don't do well or they're not experts at, that saves them, if not money, it definitely saves them time, because they get to enjoy the things that they like to do versus trying to figure this part out. Like, what goes into my 401k? How much of each fund do I put there? you know, how much should I defer and how much should I invest over here? Should I do tax-free or should I do taxable? You know, those are a lot of decisions that people just really don't want to spend time doing if they're not an expert. So I would say, you know, through an advisor, you would have access to most of those things, especially the really good advisors. Another thing that you might want to have access to, and this is doesn't move the needle for a lot of folk, but you might want to have access to specialized investment strategy or specialized investment vehicles that you can only get through an advisor. For instance, Dimensional Fund Advisors, they're located in Austin. There's only about 4,000 or 5,000 advisors across the U.S. that use Dimensional Funds. So if you wanted the Dimensional touch on your investment strategy, which is, you know, really low cost mutual funds and actively managed, or what I would call tactical investment, and that scientific approach to investing, really, you can only access that through an advisor that offered those funds. So the people do that for different reasons. And those are different ways to invest, all those three different ways. And depending on yourself, depending on your preferences, depending on what you're trying to do in your portfolio, one or the other, or maybe a couple different ones may appeal to you. So just wanted to walk through those. Those are some of the more popular ones, and I wanted to highlight that for you. If you want to continue this discussion, we can always finish it up and have some more back and forth fodder in the Facebook group. Creating Your Roadmap to Financial Contentment is a Facebook group that is designed to help you win in life and with your money around the themes of financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. So feel free to search that on Facebook. I'm the admin. I'll let you write in, and we'll have a good conversation about this topic or any other. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you back next time for part 3 of comparing different investment strategy. See you later. Bye-bye.